Assalamu alaikum. Welcome and thank you for downloading the Ministry of Dawah podcast. Search for us on Facebook and on YouTube.
This week's topic is examination or salvation.
Alhamdulillah, nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billah. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا حبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم he said in a hadith that Islam came as something strange and it will return as something strange So glad tidings be to those strangers. And how right was our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We're living in strange times right now. And even more so strange for us, strangers living in the West and in London. We're living in such strange times where halal is made haram, haram is made halal. Small sins are looked at as minor and things you can do irrespective. And we have strange times where the mentality of, I'm talking about Muslims, and strange times where Muslims' mentality is that it doesn't matter how much haram I do or what sin I do, I'll go into Jannah one day anyways. And we're living in such strange times that hellfire is not even feared anymore. It's almost forgotten. And things are no longer considered haram anymore, where things were used to be frowned upon and feared by the Prophet ﷺ and the companions of the time. And we live in times where girlfriends and boyfriends has almost become a norm. It's become an accepted norm. With the excuse that, or with the reasoning that, well, at least I'm going to marry her. But, you know, I can't afford to get married right now, so it's alright. But I love her. You know, I love him. You know, so it's become accepted and it's become okay. And selling drugs has become the norm as well, and it is amongst Muslims, who of course know it's haram, but it's become accepted and it's become something that is overlooked. But I need to make my money. I need to get rich or die trying, as one of the rappers said, yeah? And it's almost become the norm. Sleeping around, you know, spreading the chlamydia, it's not even looked at as anymore as haram, it's not even frowned upon. It's just done so easily, and it's rampant amongst us Muslims. Clubbing. So I'm just chilling with my mates. It's not even looked at as the fact that there's alcohol there, there's free mixing there, and there's nothing but fitna in that situation, but it's not even looked at as being haram anymore. And free mixing itself is almost become the norm. Oh, it's just a mate, but he's my best mate. Oh, but she's my best, but she understands me. You know, I can talk to them. They're there for me. You know, and even sisters not wearing the hijab, that's even looked at as not being haram. You know, at least I'm not doing anything bad, so what, it's just a piece of cloth. And this is the strange times that we are living in today. And this mindset that we have become embedded with, and this mindset that has been planted into our heads, this mindset that we have become indoctrinated to by the society that we live in, and by the upbringing we've had, has almost become the acceptable norm. It's almost become the social norm. And yet, we are heedless and we do not ponder about the consequences of this kind of lifestyle. We do not ponder and we do not take heed from where is this lifestyle taking me and where did this lifestyle and mindset come from. And this mindset, having this type of mindset and having this type of mentality, leads us to live a certain lifestyle and hence it leads us to prioritize certain things we do in life because of this mindset. So some people, because they have that mindset that, okay, I'm here for X, Y, and Z, and I'm just going to have fun and just do whatever I feel like and follow my own whims and desires, because people have been engraved to having that mentality, they prioritize things in their life. So for example, one of their priorities might be, I'm going to make money. That's my priority in life. I don't care what it takes, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to become like Alan Sugar, or I'm just going to be famous, or I'm just going to make money. Yeah, so they'll just work away, they'll just slave away, 24-7, they'll just work, work, work. They need to make money, that's their priority. They need to have money, they just need to be rich. Yeah, they just want to be rich, that's their priority, and they want to do everything it takes to get priority, to get that priority. And unfortunately, it even means, you know, to sell drugs, to sell dodgy gear, you know, to even do some credit card scams here and there, whatever it takes that is my priority, to make money, and I'll do whatever it takes to get that. Some people prioritize having all the girls. That's their priority. Yeah, I need to have as many girlfriends as I can, or I need to prioritize to get a girlfriend at least one girlfriend, yeah? And that is their priority. And they'll do whatever it takes to fulfill that priority. Even if it means, you know, going to the club every day and just sitting in the corner hoping that you might get a wink, they'll do that. Yeah, they'll go to the club every day hoping that they might just find their lovebird there. They might just find their Juliet in that club dancing away, yeah? And some people, you know, they need to, just to fulfill that priority, they need to show their mates, yeah, this is how many girls I can get. Look at my numbers. I got Shalina, Sabana, Bina, whatever, yeah? I got all these numbers on my phone. And they prioritize it. That's their priority of getting as many girlfriends as they can. So they're going to prioritize it and achieve it in however many ways they can. And they'll free mix as well, as, you know, in college, at work, at university. They'll free mix with us, you know, we're just all mates, girls, guys. You know, hopefully my baby will be one of them. You never know, we might just connect. You know, we might just do coursework together, and we might just, you know, that might be my wife, you never know. And along with that priority comes, on the flip side, is looking buff, yeah? Having the swagger. So whatever it takes, my priority is I need to look good. Yeah, I need to get the latest haircut. I need to get a haircut every week. Yeah, it needs to be a skin fade. It needs to be patterns on there. You know, I need to get the latest garms. So I need to keep up with the Heat magazines and the Vogue magazines. I need to keep up what's the latest, you know, what's the latest fashion out there. Is it the chinos? Or is it the, you know, what's the latest gear? I need to keep up with it because I need to look buff, yeah? That's my priority. I need to have the latest swagger on point. And I need to look good. And that's their priority in their life, is that to get the latest gears and to look good. And they'll do whatever it takes just to look buff. And some people's priority in life is, you know what, I don't care. My priority is just, I just want to chill. That's my priority in life. I just want to chill out. Yeah, I don't care what goes around. I just want to be a bum, and I like doing that. Yeah, I just want to chill out. I just want to chill out, and that's my life, and that's my priority. So whatever it takes, I'm going to be a bum. Yeah, and that is their priority. And it doesn't matter whether it's just drinking all day, smoking weed all day, just playing the PS3 and being high all day. It doesn't matter what it is, or if it's just football all day, or whether it's just chilling in the street corner with my mates doing nothing but just spitting all day. It doesn't matter what it is, yeah? If my priority is I'm going to chill and I'm going to be a bum, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to be that bum. And that's how we prioritize life, based on the mindset that we have. We have a certain mindset because of the society, and because of this mindset, and because of the way we've been raised and the society we live in, we have this mindset which leads us to prioritize certain things in life. And because we prioritize certain things in life, we lead a certain lifestyle because of that. And some people prioritize, that's it, I'm going to be the baddest man on road. So everyone in WC1's got to know me. Everyone in Cromer Street, in these ends, have got to know me. They got to know that I'm Abdul Dangerous. They got to know who I am. And I got to hang around with my boys in that street, and we got to protect the local halal shop. we've got to protect this postcode, we've got to protect this lamppost and this chicken shop, we've got to protect it because this is our turf. And we can't let no EC1 boys come and eat in our chicken shop and buy our halal food, we've got to protect it. And it sounds funny and it sounds ridiculous because it is. But unfortunately, this is the mindset of the brothers, and this is the mindset of many Muslims and many youths that are growing up in this society. They're falling into this trap and they're growing up with this mindset. And it is a reality. We're laughing at it, and it is almost laughable. Well, actually, it is laughable, and it is ridiculous. But this is the mindset they're growing up with. And this is the gang culture that they want to be in, and they'll do whatever it takes. They'll, you know, stab someone just to say, yeah, am I in now? Am I in the gang now? You know, and they want to get that asthma on their leg just to say that, yeah, I'm part of that clique now. And they've got to get to, is it Penn? Yeah, Penn's the latest one, isn't it? Penn, they've got to get to Penn just to show that, yeah, I'm part of the gang now. And this is the culture that they're growing up with, because this is the mindset they're growing up with, and this is how they prioritize their life, and this is what's important to them, and that's what their priority is. And amongst this priority, one priority, alhamdulillah, I think it's the best priority out of the rest, actually, is some brothers and sisters, they set their priorities to study. And they set their priorities to becoming, going into the academic realms, and they put their priorities in pursuing an academic career, in becoming professionals, in becoming intellectuals, in becoming, you know, some sort of career-minded person, career-orientated person. So alhamdulillah, amongst the priorities, there are some who have left those lifestyles and their focus is more on their education and their focus is more on their career building, and that's where they put their focus. And this is the period, this is the time, isn't it, when a lot of people were focusing on that for their GCSEs, their A-levels, their diplomas, their degrees, their masters and their PhD. And a lot of people have just went through that just this summer, and this is the period when everybody goes through that stress, you know, and they spent hours and hours and days revising. And think about it, most of the year we spend studying, isn't it? You know, most of the year we spend studying, and we only get a couple of months summer holidays. And that this is what is spent most of our life, our youth life, is spent on studying and working hard to get those grades. And of course it's important to study. And the aim of this talk, inshallah, is not to ridicule that and is not to take away how important it is to study. And it's just to emphasize that this time of the year, a lot of brothers and sisters have been pulling out the Red Bulls and the coffees, and they're stressing and studying all night, doing their last minute revision coursework. Some of us here might have been just doing that. And they're trying to cram in all that last minute information, and they put a lot of emphasis in this and a lot of hard work. And it is quite stressful, you know, and alhamdulillah, we put a lot of effort and time into doing all of this. And we've got to ponder and reflect upon, why do we study these exams? Why do we do it? Why do we study hard, and why do we try and get those grades? And of course, we do it because we don't want to face the consequences. And we fear the consequences. And the consequence is failure. And we fear to fail. We don't want to fail. Nobody wants to fail. You know, and we worry about the failure. We worry that if we go home, we're going to get those beats from our parents. So we don't want to be those people who go home with our parents and tell us, I failed. You know, we're worried about what we're going to say to our parents and how they're going to look at us. And we're worried about these kind of consequences. That's why we study hard. And we're worried about the shame from the family, the relatives, the teachers even saying, oh, I knew you were going to fail. You never used to come in. And we're worried about those kind of consequences. And we're worried about the consequences from our peers, from our friends saying, oh, you're dumb. You failed. Yeah. And and this is why we try and study hard and we try and get those grades, because we want to get somewhere. And we're fearful of the consequences, that if we don't study hard, what is the consequences are going to be. And we don't want a less well-paid job. Who wants to clean the streets? You know, I'm not ridiculing that job in any way or manner. But we don't want a less well-paid job. We don't want a more hard-working job. We don't want to clean the pots and pans in the restaurant. You know, none of us want to do that. We want to aspire a bit higher. And this is why we study, because we fear that consequence of getting a job that is less well-paid and that is more hard. None of us want to do that. And that is why we fear the consequences, and that is why many people study hard. And for that reason, we do our best, and we try, and we study, and we stay up all night, we revise, we go to school, we read the books over and over again, try and memorize the information. We do our best, we do our utmost to try and pass. And some pass better than others, but we do our best. And to pass and to get those grades, we must take the correct steps. So obviously you've got to revise in time, you've got to revise well, you know, there's the teachers to help you, and you've got to leave plenty of time to study, and study over again, and study, and look at the past papers, etc., etc. And there's some certain steps that you got to take in order to pass the exams well. And if you revise well, then alhamdulillah, you'll do well, inshallah, out of it. And if you don't, then obviously you're going to fail. But even if you fail, unfortunately, some of us might have been there, you know, I've certainly been there, you know, some of us, even after studying, we fail. You know, or maybe not out of studying, we fail. And this is a natural consequence that happens in many exams that we take. Even after studying very hard, or not studying at all, or not even turning up to your exam, you fail. But even after that, you know, we know that all is not lost. You know, all is not lost and hope is not gone. There's still hope. You know, for some, we have a second chance of doing it, we have a second attempt. There's also the opportunity of a retake. You know, in some cases, there's an opportunity to choose another path of study. So, you know, you can just choose an alternative course. You know, there's like modern apprenticeships nowadays. There's other courses like City and Guilds. There's other practical courses if you're not academic orientated. And you can choose another path, or you can just, you know what, think, you know what, I'm not going to study. I'm just going to work in a company and just work my way up. So there's alternatives. So all is not lost. There is still hope. Or we might just think, you know what, I'm just going to work in my family business. So there's the opportunity there as well for some of us. So all is not lost. There is still hope. And these other options, they give us the opportunity to almost make amend, to repair the damage of failing the first exam in the first place. And for those who failed, it gives them a chance up the ladder again. So it gives them an opportunity to repair the damage that's already been done. But there is another exam, and this is the real exam. And we forget this exam all the time. We may not even know about this exam. We may not even think about this exam. And this is the biggest exam that we're going to take in our whole entire life. And it is the most important exam that we're going to take in our entire life. And this other exam that we are going to take, and this very important exam that we all are going to take, the exam that we may forget, never think about, never reflect upon, there's only one shot at this exam. There's only one chance at this exam, and only one try at this exam. There's no retakes, there's no alternative path, there's no opportunity to work your way up, there's no family to help you, there's no way to make amends, there's no dole, there's nothing, there's no recourse, there's no second path. There's only one chance, one shot, one opportunity, one exam, and this is the biggest exam we're going to take in our lives. And in the academic exams, you know what day, you know what time, you know how long the exam's going to be, and they tell you what room it's going to be in. But this big exam that you're going to take, this other exam that I'm talking about, this other exam is constant, it's continuous, and its end is unknown. So you don't know when this exam's going to end. And of course, as you may have gathered now, this exam that I'm talking about, every single one of us in this room are taking that exam right now. And we are taking that exam right now, and we are sitting in that exam right now. And that's the exam of our life. And the decisions we have taken, we are going to take, we will take, and are going to take, will affect the results of this exam. And this is the exam of our life, the biggest exam that we're ever going to face. And it doesn't matter whether you want to take this exam or not. It doesn't, just like, you know, you have an opportunity to decide whether you want to do the A-levels or not. This exam, you don't get a choice, because you're already in it. And every man, woman, child must take this exam. And by taking this exam, it's the exam of your life. And this results, the results that you get from this exam, there's only two results. There's no A, B, C, D, and all the way until some people get U's. You don't get those results in this exam. There's only two results of this exam. And those two results are Jannah and Jahannam. The fire of hell or heaven. They're the only two results that can come from this exam. When you sit in an exam, you have like 2-3 hours to take that exam. But this exam of our life started the minute our heart started to beat. So this exam has already started. But in a normal exam, you know when to put the pen down. You've got 2 hours, you've got a fat clock in front of you, and you can see the clock ticking. And you're trying to race against that time and write the last line and the last paragraph. So you know when it's going to stop ticking. But this exam of our life, we don't know when this heart will stop ticking. We don't know when this heart will stop beating. But it could be any time when this heart stops beating. And that will be literally when you have to drop the pen. That exam and when this heart will drop is the question mark. It is the biggest question. And it could be any moment. This exam could be over right now. Right now, while the angel of death visits us every 20 minutes, we're almost here 20 minutes, this exam of our life could end right now. It could end when we leave this place. It could end today. It could end tomorrow. We don't know when it's going to end. But for sure, this exam will end. And it's already started and we're already in it. And the failure and the success of these results are permanent. But the key question is, what are we doing as individuals to prepare for this exam? What are we doing to revise for this exam? What are we doing to study for this exam? And of course, as we know, if we revise the wrong question when we're preparing for our exam, we'll do the wrong question in the exam and we'll get the wrong results and we'll fail the exam. Just like that, if we revise the exam of our life incorrectly, and we're studying the exam of our life incorrectly, and we're taking the incorrect paths, it will lead us to failure on the Day of Judgment. And there will only be regret, and there will only be, if only I done this, and if only I done that. And at that point, a regret will not suffice. Similarly, just like taking wrong steps in this life will lead us to the biggest regrets and sorrow on the day when the results are shown. And on that day when our results get shown, we will be witness to our own evil deeds. Our limbs will be witness to what we've done and how we neglected and how we chased our own whims and desires. And no sorrow, no regret, and no tears, and no one can help on that day. How we live our life now will determine our destination, just like how we study will determine our results. And this exam of life is the most important exam we'll ever sit. More important than all the academic exams that we ever sit, this exam of our life is the most important exam that we'll ever sit. And if you fail this exam, all else will become irrelevant. All else will become pointless. And nothing will benefit you if you fail this exam. And when you fail a normal academic exam, you have alternatives. You have a second chance, you have an alternative. But the consequence of failing this life, this exam that we're living in this life, is the eternal hellfire. And it's a permanent consequence. It's not a temporary fix, or there's no second chance. It's a permanent result, and that permanent result can be the eternal hellfire. But we have the opportunity to change this. We have the opportunity to try and turn our own results around. We can, depending on how we live our lives and how we leave this room today. Now, I remember when I was at university, I mean, it's good to be on video, but when I was at university, there was people selling exam papers, isn't it? Before you go to the exam, they were selling like what questions are going to come up. Now, I want you to imagine that for a minute, yeah? Just imagine before you went to your exam, your teacher comes up to you and he tells you, listen, mate, I'll tell you what questions are going to come up. Like, you're going to love it. You're going to be like, yeah, tell me then. Like, it'll narrow down your revision, isn't it? You'll just be like, yeah, I'm going to know what questions are going to come up. That's wicked. You're going to love your teacher. You're going to be like, yeah, tell me the questions, which ones are going to come up. You're going to be really happy because you know what to revise. It's really narrowed down. It's just a few questions and you don't have to revise all these other books. You can just revise those questions and you can smash the exam. And now you think, yeah, it's easy now and you can pass. Now, imagine it even more. Yeah, I'm asking for your creativity here. Yeah, use your imagination power. Now imagine the teacher comes up to you and he gives you the answers. He's like, okay, these are the questions. And this is the answer. Yeah, all you got to do is just revise these questions and revise these specific answers and you'll get an A star. You're going to be happy. You're going to be doing backflips on the spot. You're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to get A stars. You're almost certain to get A stars because he's giving you the questions and he's giving you the answers. Yeah, all you got to do is just study it and know it and that's it. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already done this. And he's done this already for us. He's told us what we will face in this life. He told us what we should do. And he told us how we should overcome them. And he's given it to us all on a plate for us as easily as that. And he tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi hudan lil-muttaqin. He's told us in the opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah that this is a guidance for the pious, for the believers. Yeah? And he has laid it down on us for a plate. He's told us what we will face in this life. He's told us what we should do, how we should overcome it. And this guidance is clearly laid out for us in Islam. And he's given us, along with that, eternal Jannah for the believers and for those who do righteous deeds. And how easy has it made it for us? He's given us the questions, he's given us the answers, he's given us the path to that, and he's given us everything in Islam. All we have to do is open it and reflect upon it and practice upon it. Alhamdulillah, it's all there for us. Just to summarize and conclude, brothers, we have to take heed from this. We have to reflect and understand that time is short. We do not live forever. We only have one life and we've got one shot. and one chance at this exam. We do not know when this time will be over. We do not know when this heart will stop beating. We do not know when this exam will be over. So let us not gamble with this life, this one chance that we have. We must act now. We must seek to change ourselves now, because tomorrow may never be. And we must seek to change ourselves now and change the way we live our lifestyles to an Islamic lifestyle, and change and live by Islam before time runs out and we fail the one and only real true exam that we will ever face in this life, and that is the exam of our life. But just before I conclude, I'd like you to imagine, again, I ask for your imagination here, yeah? I ask you to imagine the day when you receive your grades. You know tomorrow you're going to receive your grades. Now how nervous is that? You couldn't sleep the night before because you know your grades are coming out tomorrow. You don't know which way it's going to go. You don't know whether you're going to pass or fail. You don't know what you're going to say to your parents. Your whole life future is determined upon these grades. You don't know whether you're going to carry on studying. You don't know whether you're going to just be confused and not know what to do, but you need these grades. And you're just so nervous, and you're scared, and you don't know, and you're struggling to sleep. And then the day comes, and then it's the day when you have to go to school. And some of us have already, you know, been through this, and we've already experienced this. And you have to go to school and get the grades, and you go to school and you get the grades, and you're really nervous, and you're scared, and you're sweating, and you're worried, and you're almost shaking. You know, some people, you know, their hair standing up on their hands and their legs are shivering, and you're getting that funny feeling in your stomach because you don't know what grades you're going to get. Now just like that, I want you to capture that imagination, and I want you to imagine that it's the day when you're receiving your grades and you're opening your envelope. And that day is the results that you're receiving from the exam of your life. And that day is the day of judgment. And that day is the day of resurrection, and it's the day of gathering. When you're going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's going to reveal to you what grades you got for living this life. Now just imagine how you would feel on that day. And while you're imagining that, I'm going to portray to you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about that day from the Quran. And He says in chapter 82, verses 17 to 19, What will convey to you what the day of judgment is? Again, what will convey to you what the day of judgment is? It is the day when a soul will have no power to help any other soul in any way. The command that day will be God's alone. Another verse is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that day when you're going to receive your results, and how you will feel on that day, and how you will be on that day when He's revealing your results to you. And this is in chapter 80, verses 33 to 37. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, When the deafening blast comes, that day a man will flee from his brother, and his mother, and his father, and his wife, and his children. On that day, every man among them will have concerns enough of his own. Another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in chapter 70, verses 10 to 15, He talks about that day when you will receive your grades. And remember your best friends? He talks about them here. He says, no good friend will ask about his friend, even though they can see each other. An evildoer will wish he could ransom himself from the punishment of that day by means of his sons, his wife, or his brother, or his family who sheltered him, or everyone else on this earth, if only that meant that he could save himself. But no, it is a raging blaze. Another verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this day, in chapter 83, verse 6, He says, on that day, a person will be too occupied to worry about others. He will even abandon his own mother, father, spouse, and children. Now on that day when we receive our grades, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these many verses, we'll be too worried and too occupied. we'll be too occupied to worry about others. We're not going to care about nobody else. We're too worried about ourselves and the grades we're going to receive. And we're too worried about the results and how our scale is going to go on that day, which way it's going to tip over. We're too worried about the consequence. We're too worried about what the outcome of our exam of our life is going to be, that we're going to be standing there naked. But we're so worried and fearful that the fact that we're naked is not even going to come into our minds. We're not going to even be worried that we're going to be standing naked, but we're going to be so fearful that that's the only thing we're going to be thinking about. Fearing the fire of hell, seeing the blaze of the fire in hell, that's the only thing we're going to be worried about, is what is my results going to produce today? What is my exam of my life? What is the consequences? What is the result that I'm going to be produced today? Which way is it going to go? You're not going to care that you're standing next to your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, your wife, your husband. You're not going to care. All you're going to care about is what is my result going to be. Everyone's for themselves on that day. And the intensity and the inconceivable terror on that day of resurrection will make everyone just worried about himself. A friend's not going to care about his best friend. You're not going to care about your family. You're going to be trying to account everybody you can, whether they're your family or not. You're not going to care. You're going to say, remember when I done that good thing for you? I want that deed. I need it right now. Yeah, remember mum, when I got that shopping for you? I need that deed right now, because I'm so worried about the fire of hell. Everyone is for themselves and nobody is going to care about anybody else. Everyone is going to try to reap as much good deeds as they can, because they're so worried about the result that it's going to produce from the exam of the life that they led. Everyone's going to try and make every effort to change that results on that day. Everyone's going to try it. Everyone's going to be running around like headless chickens trying to change the results on that day. But at that day, it's too late. And be sure that there is no doubt about that day, because we will all depart this world. And meeting that day is an inevitable fact of life. But by then, it's too late. There is no chance of going back and reaping in any rewards. The fire of hell is already burning and waiting. So let us not let that time come of regret. Let us do something about it now. We can revise now. We can prepare now. We can make that change now. We can do something right now. So in this period of examination, when everybody's stressing about their exams, some of you whom are stressing about what results you're going to get after all that hard work, whilst we're doing all this examination and this exam period is coming over, let's ponder and let's reflect and let's work hard for the ultimate exam that we have to face. And that is the exam of salvation, and that is the exam of our life, inshallah. Anything good I said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any errors and mistakes that I made is from me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And inshallah, this talk serves as a reminder for me first. And inshallah, we can take heed and make preparations for that exam. JazakAllah khairan for listening. But just before I finish, there's one poem I wanted to read, if that was alright. We've got enough time?
Yeah.
Alright, this poem is based on this topic. Yeah. Last minute revision, drinking coffee all night. Feel like guessing the answers and hope to be right. Too many sleepless nights with stress and worry. Don't want to end up in a restaurant cooking curry. Only a day left, time to panic. Too much to go through, not enough time. Too late for regrets, but so what? I can retake. The day of results, I hide with my envelope. Too embarrassed to share my failure. Too embarrassed to show my neglect. Just as I thought, all fails. But I boast like a G and show that I don't really care. But truly inside, I really feel despair. But I went to MOD and learned of a bigger test. There's still hope, and that's the test of my life. I stressed so much for a GCSE, but I couldn't care if the food I ate was halal or HMC. I woke with stress for revision, but never worried about a prayer. When the angel of death visits every day, the final test is nearer. I revised physics, maths, and the mode and mean. I never knew how to read. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I thought the key to success was worldly pleasure, but now I know the ultimate goal is Jannah. Didn't want to fail with a second class job, but on the day of judgment, a failure is the fire of hell. Fail this exam and there's no D's, F's and L's. Fail this test and there's only heaven or hell. Whether I open the envelope with joy or fear is up to me and how much I really care. Jazakallah khair for listening.
Thanks for downloading this podcast. You can subscribe to it from our blogspot at centralmod.blogspot.com to receive our weekly podcast. Assalamu alaikum.